Je suis la stripteaseuse de Motivation, Michael Loesch, et bienvenue dans un autre épisode de Downhill Dog, The Guide to Trying. See? That's me speaking French. Take that, Mr. Kakowski. More on that later. For those of you who don't know, Downhill Dog finds its home in the north of North America. We are proud to be a podcast located fabulously above the 49th parallel in the great land of A. And that's Canada, for those keeping track. There are many things that are great about this country, many things that are not. But one thing is for sure, many people don't know much about Canada. Perhaps above all, that we are an official bilingual country. That's right, yes, we speak English and we speak French. Or at least we do our very goddamn best to. Along with obviously a multitude of others. And today, that's exactly what we are going to be exploring. How life might be different in this great country of ours, depending on the language falling from our lips. And in order to best explore this, I'm going to bring on a co-host who can balance out this Anglophone nonsense. This week's co-host, you know, she has a certain sweetness that just radiates off her as easily as the French language falls from her lips. Someone whose dedication, loyalty, and willingness to embrace the unknown has crafted them into an effective leader and special friend to so many. From coast to coast, her undeniable grace is turning heads, especially in her role as a translation specialist for a certain global athleisure brand, who we've spoken of before on here. I am so happy she said oui when I asked, "Serez-vous sur mon podcast?" Please welcome to the show the fabulous, the formidable, and the French, Miss Emily Ruddock-Messier. Emily, welcome to the show.
Michael, thanks for having me.
Now, people call you by your shorter name, M, a lot of the time, right? Okay, so for the sake of this episode, I'm probably going to do the same.
I love it. No problem.
And everyone out there, you can also call her whatever you'd like. Now, today we are exploring the importance of language in an episode we're calling Downhill Dog, Maintenant en Français, or Now in French, because I think language is something that is super important. It's super important in how we express our most authentic selves, in how we connect to communities, to perhaps a specific culture. And more specifically, with language, we're going to be chatting about your French-Canadian background today, Em. Does that sound okay with you?
Sounds great.
Now, you just returned home.
I was.
From where?
I went to Montreal to visit my family. My parents still live there and my brother still lives there. So.
And were you born in Montreal?
Funny. No, I was actually born in Vancouver. My mom is from BC.
Oh, okay.
But I spent my entire life in Montreal.
Okay. Yeah. When did you actually move there?
I was one. I mean, it's an international story. I was born in Vancouver. We moved to Finland for a year. My dad was finishing his postdoctorate, and so we moved to Finland. My first word was actually in Finnish, so I mean, we could...
What first word was that?
The word is haiti. It means mum.
Haiti.
Yeah.
See, people, the education you're getting for us, so we don't charge you anything on here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so that was the start to my, multilingual life, but my dad is from Quebec, and so, he met my mum. Actually in Prince Edward Island, and then they fell in love, and I was born in Vancouver, spent a year in Finland, and then we moved to Montreal when I was one.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So you really are an around-the-world human being, you know, in many different corners of the world.
Yeah.
So in your own household then, did you grow up speaking French? Did you grow up speaking English? Was it a mix of both?
Yeah, it was always both. So my parents decided very early on that my mom would always only speak to us in English, and my dad only spoke to us in French. So we got both at the same time, since as far as I can remember. And I'm sure that's how both languages developed at the same time.
Now, so you had both languages at the exact same time. Yeah. So you're saying they developed at the exact same time. Oh, wow.
Well, because the younger you learn a language, the more fluent you can become in that language, right? And we see that so many times with adults learning languages as they get older. It becomes more difficult for their brain to absorb the language. And it's like anything with children. They absorb things so quickly. And so my brother and I both learned French and English at the same time while growing up. So like simultaneous learning of the languages allowed us to be fluent in both. I would say I'm bilingual more than anything.
Now, did you, I know you said you're bilingual just now, but did you lean to one or the other growing up more? Did you feel like you spoke English more, French more, just for you yourself?
That's an interesting question. I went to elementary school in English and then high school in French. And so I would say that the things that I learned in the language that I learned them in, I'm the most comfortable in. So like math, I became very comfortable in because we learned such important parts of math. Mathematics in high school, I revert back to French when I'm doing math. That's my comfort zone for mathematics. Whereas music, I think of in English, and there's things like that that my brain just feels more comfortable in certain parts of my life.
I think that's just fascinating that your brain is divided that way, I think, or perhaps now it's a little bit more integrated, or maybe it always was, but I just think that's fabulous that math is in French, music is in English.
Yeah. And there's definitely a switch that happens, especially like you talked about with my job. I am translating every day and I'm thinking in French. So I'm able to, if I'm writing in French, I'm fully thinking in French. If I'm writing in English, I'm fully thinking in English. And that switch happens on its own. And it's always been like that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you have a really unique position as a Canadian. And I'm really curious, you know, you are a Canadian, you have the perspective of being a Canadian. Is your sense of being Canadian tied to your ability to speak French?
That's a really good question. I think, like you mentioned before, like Canada is a bilingual country. And I think there's a sense of pride. I'm so proud and so like happy that my parents gave me the beautiful gift of being able to speak both those languages. And I think it's a beautiful opportunity that we have in Canada to have those two languages, those two cultures, those two, opportunities. And like multiculturalism is so alive in Canada. So I think that if you speak more than one language in Canada, you are truly Canadian. You know?
Yeah, I get that.
But I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm not trying to say that people who speak English aren't Canadian. I just mean...
Well, I'm saying like the paramount Canadian would probably ideally be able to speak English and French.
And I think everybody in Canada understands English and French. Like they're used to, like if you look on your shampoo bottle, there's French and English and you're used to seeing both. Everybody's used to seeing both, right? And
yeah.
Because in order to sell products in Canada, they have to be bilingual. So we're used to seeing both languages everywhere and looking for the language that we're most comfortable in.
Right. That's so true. Now, you know, you grew up en français, you grew up en anglais, but what were you reading? What were you watching growing up? Did you watch predominantly French programming, read French programming? I mean, read French programming, you know what I mean? Read French books, that kind of thing?
It's really both. I can't emphasize enough that we did, in the house, we spoke, in our home, we spoke both languages, mixed and matched. Like, Fringlish and Franglais is alive and well in Quebec and in Montreal. Everybody uses the word that suits the scenario best. And we pulled from French TV shows that we watched and then English TV shows, English books, French books, songs. Carmen Campagne was like one that people used a lot to refer to different childhood memories. But then people equally watched Barney. So it was,
it was
a lot of both.
You didn't have like a translated Barney.
I think there was a translated Barney.
Yeah.
But me and my brother never had to watch the translated Barney. We would watch it in English.
I remember one of the most fascinating things was I went on a Quebec City trip in grade 8.
Yeah.
Pardon me. And I, first off, had a horrible time. I was bullied, all that stuff. But beyond that, that wasn't the fault of Quebec City. That was the fault of adolescence.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I turned on the TV and The Simpsons were on.
Oh.
And I started watching it and I was like, oh, wow. And then they're completely different voices. And I just thought that was the most fascinating thing. And that still sticks out in my memory today.
Of your trip of, like, to Quebec City.
A very French experience. Okay. I think it's important to note as we dive into this show that your Canadian experience is going to be different than mine.
Yeah.
And Perhaps there will be some overarching themes. I'm not sure. Just like a Spanish-speaking American's experience is most likely going to be very different from a majority of those in the States. A Polish-speaking person's experience of being British is probably very different. I think our association with language is an incredibly important part of how we understand ourselves.
Absolutely.
And I'm really excited to dig into that with you as we get into the Guide to Trying. But before we go on, I do want to take a moment for us to acknowledge what happened in my hometown of Toronto yesterday.
Yeah.
It's Monday. This is going to be released on Thursday, so it's going to be a few days out. But I lived in Toronto for the past 10 years before moving out here to the West Coast. Have you been to Toronto? I'm sure you have.
I spent a lot of time in Toronto.
You spent a lot of time in Toronto. And maybe you relate, but Toronto, for me, perhaps you feel this way about Montreal, Toronto for me still feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
And to see an act of violence like this in my own city is of course tough. And obviously our hearts, our actions, if possible, are going to go out to the victims and their families over the course of the next few weeks. We're going to post some ways to help on our gram, which is Instagram. I've just learned that. But one of the amazing things, and something that I think perhaps is uniquely Canadian in this situation, was the officer who didn't shoot. Have you heard about this?
I've heard a little bit about it.
Yeah. A little bit about it. Yeah. So just to give people some context, I was reading an article in Maclean's magazine. And for those of you who are not in Canada, Maclean's is like a Newsweek or something like a political, cultural kind of Canadian magazine. And it talked about this officer who had his gun drawn on the individual who had driven the white van and killed, I believe it was 9 people and 16 injured.
Yeah.
He had his gun drawn on this man. This man came out of the van. And despite all pressures, including the suspect admitting that he had a gun in his pocket, he didn't shoot.
Mm.
And it was an incredibly moving moment to look back on. And I just was thinking to myself, like, what was going through that officer's head?
So much of it, yeah.
You know, what was he thinking? Or, it was a he, mm-hmm. as far as we know.
Okay.
You know, why didn't he shoot? Like, we're so used to seeing. You know, what was it that, especially when the guy, he kept reaching down to his apparently like a gunslinger almost, like he was going to pull out a gun. The guy almost wanted, it seemed like he wanted to be shot.
Right.
But the officer chose not to. And there's something in that for me. And I'm sure we'll figure out with time to come.
What was going on in his mind. Yeah.
What was going on in his mind. But I think it has to be something compassionate in that. And I believe it's something that's uniquely Canadian.
I would agree. I think we see so much on the news about what happens in the U.S. and how quick they are to shoot first and then ask questions later or second guess later. And I think it's actually quite wonderful that we would not shoot first and
have an ability to ask questions.
Absolutely.
And it's so interesting today. We're talking about language. We're talking about cultural aspects of that experience of speaking language, but even language between the States and Canada.
Yeah, so
and we've spoken about this before on the podcast when the tragedy happened in Florida. But we have a different culture. We have a different language around guns, in our legislation, in our history.
It's totally different.
It's absolutely different. Yeah. And I think this will be a shining example of what we're here for, of what Canadians are here for. Because despite the tragedy, despite the people that were taken too soon, he chose not to kill him.
Yeah.
And he chose to see him.
As a person.
As a person.
Yeah.
And I think there's some solution in that to all of these, because we're definitely not the first city that this has happened in.
No, so true.
I thought I just wanted to take some time to
acknowledge,
think about that, to acknowledge it, and And like I said, we will post some ways on our Instagram feed for you folks to help if you are able. So please go check that out. But let's switch gears, okay, and get back on the topic at hand. And of course, that topic today is language. And specifically French, because that is so much of a lived experience for us. But we'll expand that thinking as we move into the guide to trying. Now, one of my favorite things, Em, is when I get to learn a little bit more of someone else's language. Okay. So today we're going to play a little game with you where you're going to test my knowledge of some French words. Okay. And see if my education served me well and see if I cannot get lost in translation. In a little game I like to call Take That, Mr. Krakowski, or Prince Monsieur Krakowski.
Nailed it.
Is that right? And for all of you, who's Mr. Krakowski, you ask? Well, he was my French teacher in grade 9 who told me that French wasn't really my thing and subjecting me to a lifetime of English.
Oh my God, I can't believe he said that to you.
All right. So this is the way it's going to work, Em. Yeah. You are going to say a word and you're going to ask, and I don't know what these words are. This is the first time I've brought someone in to the podcast who, and I asked them to write some content for us. You're going to ask me some words and I'm going to do my best to translate them.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So Em, let's begin. Let's take that, Mr. Krakowski.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with some easy ones.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. What about the word chien?
Chien? Oh, I do know that one. Great. That is one of my favorite things in the world. A chien is a dog.
Oh, nailed it.
Got it.
Mr. Krakowski.
Take that, Mr. Krakowski.
Okay. What about the word... This is kind of a hard one. What about the word hippocampe?
Hippocampe?
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
Hippocampe.
Do you want me to give you a hint?
No, okay. Not yet, but maybe. Hippocampe. Hippocampe or hippocampe?
Hippocampe.
Is it hippopotamus?
No, but it's like, that's what trips people up. Do you want to know what it is?
Give me one more hint. Give me one more hint.
It's definitely an animal.
Okay, hippocampe. Okay, tell me what it is.
It's a seahorse.
Oh my goodness. Well, that
very close.
Yeah, Mr. Krakowski, you were right. on that one. Okay.
Okay, maybe another one that you might know. What about anana?
Oh, I do know this one.
Oh, there you go.
And I know this one because when I was a child, there was a talking pineapple in my French education curriculum, and it was a show and it was a puppet, and we would sing ananana na 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 ananana na ananana. So ananana is pineapple. Take that, Mr. Krakowski.
2 points. Good
two
job
points for
you.
Me 1 point for Mr. Krakowski.
Oh my God, this is so funny. Okay, what about chum?
Yeah, like that's a...
It's like a word in Quebec that we use to describe.
Well, you can't tell me.
Something.
Chum. Like, is that where friend comes from?
I mean, close, yeah.
Like buddy?
Yeah, but except in Quebec, it means a lot more. More than just a buddy.
Lover?
Like a boyfriend.
Oh, chum?
Yeah.
Like mon chum.
Mon chum.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or girlfriend?
Blonde.
Partner?
Blonde is a girlfriend.
Blonde. Chum is boyfriend.
Yeah.
Ooh. Good one, right? I have a little love language in the bedroom
there
now.
There you go.
From mon chum. All right. That French. One, that's a point for Mr. Krakowski. It's 2-2.
Okay. Okay. What about the word gueule?
Gueule?
Gueule. Yeah.
Can you spell it?
G-U-E-U-L-E.
G-U-E-U. L-E.
Yep.
Can you use it in a sentence?
In English or in French?
In French.
Okay. In French, a sentence would be ferme ta gueule. Ooh, it's a mean one. It's something you say when you're really mad at someone.
Ferme ta gueule? Is it mouth?
Oh my God, yeah.
Shut your mouth?
Yeah, good job.
Yes. All right. Take that, Mr. Kukowski. Okay, 3-2. How many more do we have?
How many more do you want to do?
Let's do three more.
Three more. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the word avertissement?
Avertissement? Like advertisement, commercial?
In French, we call it a faux ami. It's just like a fake friend in French because avertissement in French is actually a warning.
Oh, yeah. All right. Okay, Mr. Kurkowski, we're 3-3. We've got two more.
Two more. All right. What about the word raton laveur?
Raton?
Raton laveur. I didn't pull any easy ones for you. But.
That's okay. Can I hear it in a sentence?
Okay. J'ai trouvé un raton laveur qui mangeait mes poubelles.
I have no idea.
It's an animal.
Say it one more time for me.
Raton laveur.
Is it a raccoon?
Oh my God, yes!
Really?
Yeah, good job.
Oh my goodness, take that, Mr. Kurkowski. And now I know he can't win unless he ties it. But let's do one last one.
Okay. What about libellule?
Libellule.
Another animal.
Libellule. Balil?
Yeah.
Balil. Can you use it in a sentence? I think I'll get it if I hear it in a sentence. She's like, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, so I could just say, j'ai vu la libellule voler.
Is it a seal?
No, it flies.
Okay, it flies. Okay. Lily voler.
La libellule voler.
I don't know. Oh my God.
A dragonfly.
A dragon. That's really tough.
It's a hard one.
That's really tough.
So
okay, Mr. Kurkowski. That's a point for him. So we're now tied. So I need one more. I gotta do this. I gotta try and win. One more.
Okay. What about.
Make it an easy one so I can win.
Okay, yeah. What about the word plant?
A plant?
Yeah.
P-L-A-N-T-E?
Yeah.
That, my friends, is a piece of pie. Just kidding. It's a plant. It's a plant. It's
Nailed
a plant.
It. You win.
And take that, Mr. Kurkowski.
Oh, my God.
Well, my friend, you know what? It is clear that I will never lose my French-English dictionary. But that was Take That, Mr. Kurkowski, and I did win. And you know what? I think it's so important for young people to experience French because even hearing some of those words, I still got it and could understand a little bit more.
I think it's up there in your brain, you know?
It's locked away in the mighty closet of my brain. Okay, so Em, I think we've warmed up. And I think it's time for us to get to know you a little bit better. And do you know how we do that on Downhill?
How do we do that?
We send it to Oprah.
Ooh.
Send it to Oprah.
All right. We are here in Send It to Oprah. And we are here with you, Miss M. And we're going to get to know you a little bit better.
Right.
So the way this is going to work, a la Super Soul Sunday, is I am going to begin a sentence. And you are going to complete that sentence. And in doing so, we'll get to know you a little bit better. And I may dig a little bit deeper if you're skimming the surface, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, so here comes the first one. I first remember speaking French when?
Wow. I think my first memory of speaking French was when I had my grandparents, both my grandparents were meeting. So my mom's parents and my dad's parents were meeting and I stood there and translated for them.
And how old were you?
Oh, I must have been 5 or 6. And that's my first memory that I remember of, I know you didn't ask about translation, but that's what I can remember there being like a very clear my brain is working in both languages at the same time.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah.
But speaking French, I mean, I spoke French to my dad every day.
So what was your first French word?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. No.
Okay.
Probably papa.
Papa?
Yeah.
Papa. It was Haiti and papa.
Yeah.
Two different languages.
Yeah.
All right. I feel most at home when?
I feel most at home when I'm at the lake with my parents in Quebec. And it's spending family time is so important to me. And spending time with the people that I love is so important to me. I truly believe that home is where the heart is. I think that's like, it's not the house that we grew up in, and we've just made it feel like home because that's where my people are, you know? That's where I feel most at home. Probably also with a glass of wine in hand, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't hurt at all. And for some people, it sure helps a lot when they're home. Thank you. I express myself by...
I express myself by that's such a hard one for me because I think it's when I'm talking to people and connecting with people, that's when I'm really most myself and I'm most comfortable. And self-expression, it's so interesting. I'm not really like artistic or anything, so I don't have an art form that I express myself in.
I think that's absolutely false because you...
The language?
Yeah, you are literally an artist of language, but...
That's hilarious.
Go ahead, I'm not going to stop you.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But honestly though, think about that.
Yeah.
Right? Like how do you express yourself? I mean, in a certain way, you take care of other people because you translate. You want to make sure people are heard effectively and clearly. Like that is very true for me.
I love that. Thank you.
I hear so often is that, especially around creativity or expression and that kind of thing, people go, oh, I don't really have.
Yeah.
And my thing is, what do you do every single day?
Yeah. I'm a voice for the Quebec stores. I really feel that every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's specifically in your role.
Totally. Yeah.
But also like, what does that mean beyond that? What does it mean to create space for people who en français? And in your working relationships, people can come to you and speak French. Maybe they're more comfortable in that. There's so many ways that you express who you are through language, whether it is en français or en anglais.
Yeah. I love that.
That I feel like that's true for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hearing you say it validated that for me too. Yeah.
And that's some motivational stripping for you.
I like it.
Being Canadian means?
Being Canadian means being compassionate and... understanding other cultures and being international, which is such a funny thing to say, but I really think that being Canadian means being international, being aware of all the other cultures and languages and traditions that are so important to other countries that we have welcomed in. I think that's the true definition of being Canadian.
Beautiful. I love
family. I love, and family for me doesn't necessarily just mean my parents and my brother. For me, it's my friends are my family. My boyfriend is my family. I truly love the feeling that the word family gives me when I say it.
Oh, and the biggest smile just came across Em's face. That's really wonderful. I believe
that happiness is let me start that over.
That's okay. Take your time. I believe.
I believe in magic. I think that everyone has a little bit of magic in them. I feel like, and not in the true sense of the word magic, I think it's more love. It's connection. It's what you're, everyone has a gift. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a purpose. And that is everyone's magic. So for me, that's something I really believe in.
And lastly, I am.
I am an explorer. I think I have always had a sense of adventure. I love to meet new people and do new things and taste new things. And I think that's the true sense of the word explore. And explorer is to try and discover and be curious.
Well, Em, I'm so happy I have you as an explorer alongside me in this episode. And that was Send It to Oprah. How do you feel?
Feel good.
Oh my goodness. I'm so happy that you're here. And with the departure of Miss Oprah Winfrey, it only means one thing. We are about to dive into the juicy, juicy world of The Guide to Trying. All right, here we are in The Guide to Trying, yet another chapter that's just going to help us understand how to live our best lives a little bit more. And of course, this chapter is entitled Downhill Dog, maintenant en français, now in French, because we're going to learn a little bit more about language, identity, how to embrace other people that speak different languages than us. So let's jump into it. So being Canadian, I did grow up in a mandatory French class.
French immersion.
That was, well.
Or it was just one class.
Well, I don't know if we called it French immersion because it definitely was not immersive. It was like an hour every 2 days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not immersion.
It was definitely not immersion. but I did grow up in a French class, and I'm gonna tell you a few things, and some of them you already know that I associate with that experience. One, the pineapple. Anana.
Anana.
Anana. Na. Na, 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 na. This really terrifying clown called Saul.
Oh my gosh.
S-A-U-L.
Yeah.
I will always remember that name. And for some reason, he was dressed up to look very much
scary,
like someone who doesn't bathe or that's like a, I don't like this word, but this is the one that's coming to mind. It's like a hobo or someone who is homeless, experiencing homelessness, but like character, like stereotype. It was really.
What did he say?
I just remember he had the biggest mouth. He did like the most drag queen in lips French. Of possible. He'd be like, nah, 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 the whole time. And that's all
that's
I remember about that.
Terrible association.
Oh, right? God. That's what I thought French was.
Oh, God.
You know?
You never wanted to go to Quebec ever.
Well, and I did. Like I mentioned in grade 8, I took a trip to Quebec where I was bullied by my roommates and got a room with my mom instead, who was a chaperone on the trip. Okay, so we know a little bit, but if you could characterize what growing up French, and I know it was a bilingual household, but specifically what growing up French was like for you, do you remember anything specific or in particular about that experience? Like growing up in Montreal, and was there ever a moment of you're like, that's so French. What just happened? That's super French or super Québécois.
Yeah, well, do I notice it because I lived there? Probably not. I think we're surrounded by the French culture, about it, by the French expressions and about everything that makes Québécois and culturally so interesting, right? That everybody associates Quebec with the accent that is different than the traditional French that everybody hears in France. You know, we've created in Quebec, we've created this Québécois language with a specific accent and specific words that you won't hear anywhere else, you know? And there's also so much about Quebec that's so beautiful, and the sense of humor in Quebec is so different. And I would say they're a very direct people, which I just appreciate so much. It's always to the point and no beating around the bush ever. So maybe to turn it around, it's not that I noticed that, oh, that's so French. It's probably when I left Quebec, I was like, oh, that's so English, you know?
Oh my goodness. Can I know a few moments of that's so anglais?
Well, I think that is, there's so many where people just don't say what they really want to say. Like they just don't say it because it's not accepted or proper. And I feel like in Quebec, people just say it. They just...
That's probably a bit of our British history coming on.
Absolutely.
Interesting. That's really, yeah. And, you know, we do hear about the Québécois, which is Québécois.
The Québécois.
You know, like that it's a little bit more nasally and harder sounding than perhaps a Parisian accent might be.
Definitely.
But I kind of like it better.
Oh, well, there you go. I won't tell them.
We won't tell them. Don't phone the consulate, Mrs. Ross. So you grew up in a bilingual home.
Yeah. But what I was actually going to add to that a little bit, because I find it so fascinating now looking back on my childhood and having it. So my brother is younger than I am. He's 3 years younger than I am. We grew up, in the same household with the same parents. My mom spoke to us both in English. My dad spoke to us both in French. Yet now, my group of friends is mostly English. And I'm dating Nick, who's from Ontario, and he's very English, right? He speaks a lot more French now. But he grew up English, and my brother is surrounded by all his friends are French. Like, it's so fascinating to me that happened even though we grew up both in the same scenario, the both very bilingual, and the same exposure to both languages. It's just interesting how that could happen, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of defines Montreal, that it's there's
a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
I love that. I have to get back to Montreal. I haven't spent enough time there. Get a bagel.
Yeah, go in the summer though. It's a little cold in the winter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But there's like winter fests and, you know, ice sculptures.
Igloo Fest.
The maple syrup, which is so close to you. Okay, so when did you leave home then? Like, when did you move out of that bilingual experience at home?
Like my home? My parents?
Yeah, when did you move out?
Mid-university. So,
and did you study in Quebec?
Or? Yeah, I stayed in Quebec. Yeah, I went to Concordia.
Oh, okay. Got it. So you had the opportunity to continue to speak French?
In Quebec. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, as soon as you step out of the house, you're speaking French, right? And that's what's so interesting. Like, if we talk about immersion and different school experiences across the country, yes, there's French immersion programs, but the most successful ones are the ones in Quebec because you leave the school and... you go to the corner store or the dépanneur, as we call it in...
grab a beer.
Yeah, exactly. But also just you speak French with everyone, right? And I mean, I've heard stories of... it's not so much like this anymore. It's still a little bit like this in Quebec City, but Montreal is not like this anymore. But a lot of people would not serve someone if they ordered a coffee or a breakfast or lunch in English, or if they tried to order it in French, but it... you know, they were trying, if they were from out of province and they were trying, they wouldn't serve them. They were so proud. So, Quebec is interesting that way. There's a big divide, right? And I think that a lot of that comes from the immigrants that arrived, and that St. Lawrence River was like a port of entry, right? It was for all the immigrants historically. And so there is a lot of different, cultures and languages in Montreal for that reason.
And it's such a beautiful city.
Yeah.
My goodness. Okay. So here's my question. So eventually you found yourself back here on the West Coast, which surprisingly enough, BC has the second highest French population or French speaking population. Maybe. I don't know if that's true or not. That's hearsay.
I'm not sure, but there are still quite a few. Yeah.
There's quite a few here. And I believe in terms of capacity or per capita that it might be
the second largest
outside of Quebec. But when you get away from a majority French speaking population, like on your day to day here, you probably don't speak to as many people in French as you would back home. Do you feel like any part of you is lost in that?
A little. Yeah. I mean, I miss it so much. And I mean, we did talk about my work a bit, but I am lucky to speak French every day at work, right? And to get to speak to the Quebec store. So I do speak French every single day. And I mean, I call my dad too. But I miss it. I think I'm used to seeing French everywhere and now I don't, and it's not around and people aren't, I don't hear it in the street. And when I do, I get all excited. Like I listen in on their conversation. So creepy.
And I bet they don't think that, you know, totally. Has that happened where you've been in a situation where people don't assume that you
speak the language?
French, yeah. And they're talking shit French.
Yeah. All the time.
All the time.
Well, people gossip in the language that they think other people can't understand. Right.
Oh, I've always wanted to do that. Like to walk into a restaurant with predominantly people that don't speak like my language, or perhaps speak my language and an entirety of another language. Yeah. Talking about, look at this man not knowing how to order like Szechuan tofu or I don't know, some whatever curry. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But it is interesting.
So, okay. So here's a question that pops into my mind. Is there anything you can express in French that you have a hard time expressing in English? It can be sentiment, emotion. It doesn't have to be like, because I know you're a translation expert, yeah. but tell me more.
Definitely emotions. My boyfriend jokes with me that when I get really upset or passionate about something, French comes out. Like automatically, I think my heart just reacts in French, and it's so funny. And a lot of the time I find myself, I think because my brain has both languages and so many words in both languages, that I'm trying to pick and choose from all the time, you know, and sometimes I can find the right word in French and I get stuck on that one. And then I'm trying to talk to someone and I can't find the right word in English. So that's a big loss in translation moment for myself.
Yeah.
So that happens.
Well, maybe there isn't an English word for what you're experiencing.
Totally. Yeah. That happens a lot.
Like we were on, last week's episode last episode we were on, we talked about Sonder, this idea, of seeing someone and recognizing that they have as complex of a life as you and that whole, feeling of that. Now, Sonder may not be the correct word in all languages, but some languages have specific words to describe that experience and English doesn't.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting.
It's so interesting. Yeah.
All right. So there is a little bit of you that is lost that you feel. Now you've obviously been living, how long have you been living outside of French dominant culture in Canada?
Yeah. So I've been in Vancouver for just over 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. Just over 2 years.
And I moved from Montreal. Yeah.
Now imagine you're lucky because you speak English and French. Totally. I think that's a really beautiful thing. And obviously you worked for it. It was part of your family. They made intentional choices to do that. Yeah. Something I would, if I have a family, would like to do.
Oh, it's such a gift. Yeah.
Now imagine though, you only spoke French.
Yeah.
You only could read French. Mm-hmm. What challenges would there be for you living in Vancouver right now?
Oh my God, it'd be so challenging. Signs are only in English. You'd have no idea where to go. You'd be relying on Google Translate, I guess, maybe on your phone, or relying on other people. Like your sense of independence would be completely different. You know, I think you would be, your confidence is gone for sure. I mean, when you can't communicate, like communication is our main tool of expression, and if you can't express yourself, then how do you do anything? Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't have the language to speak to something, that's why I say words are so important.
Yes, and I mean, it is the beautiful thing about human beings is that we do have so much nonverbal communication, right? You can you can mime out just about anything, but I think that your voice is so powerful, and there's so much that you can communicate by.
Yeah.
Using the right words and in the right language. So it's very hard for French speakers, francophones to come to, especially within their own country, which I find interesting, right?
That is interesting. And that is very interesting. Because what does the regulations look like in Canada around, perhaps you know a little bit about this, probably not the entirety of the scope, maybe you do, I don't know. But what's the regulation look like in terms of balancing out that English and French here in Canada?
Yeah. I mean, we do have a bilingual law. So the, Trudeau brought that in,
First, Trudeau Senior.
First Trudeau, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that funny that we have, like, we have the Bushes?
Yeah, it's so true.
We have the Trudeaus.
The Trudeaus. I'd
take a Trudeau before I'd take a Bush.
I mean.
Which is the same in real life.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to be on the socials this week. I'd take a Trudeau over a Bush any day.
Oh, my God. But, yes. So, the law is very interesting in Canada because... like I touched on before, right? We're used to seeing across Canada, especially French and English on all products that we buy. And that's illegal, compliance, right? That's legally in Canada in order to sell anything in Canada. And if there's someone that's using, if it's a product that someone is using, like shampoo.
Yeah. Where there's like, do not put in your eyes.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. There's some instructions, then it has to be in English and French.
Yeah. Okay. So there are regulations. Yes. Obviously we see that.
Like food and that kind of stuff too.
Sure. Ingestibles, anything like that.
Yeah.
But how can we work as Canadians? I'm Canadian, you're Canadian, and perhaps this applies to people who are not. How can we work to be more inclusive of this great dream of having a bilingual country? How can we work to do that?
I mean, I think like anything with inclusivity, it starts with awareness. I don't think I had realized until coming to Vancouver that there were a lot of people in Vancouver that had no idea that that some people in Quebec only spoke French. You know what I mean? And that there was that whole other culture. If you've never been to Quebec or if you've never really met someone from that part of the country, because I think people in Ontario are quite aware of bilingualism.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the West Coast, people just aren't as much.
Well, it's not right next door.
Right. So if they haven't been, then they don't know and they aren't aware. They don't realize that, there are some people that won't understand this. And so I think awareness is definitely the first step. And just an appreciation for the fact that it's defines so many people and defines who they are, defines... it's a culture for people, right? And so I think just appreciating that culture as we would any other culture.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah.
I love the piece on awareness. I think that's so true. We need to be aware that in Canada, our history, our culture, mm-hmm. How we operate is based in a bilingual nature. I think that's great. And I love the second A you brought in there of appreciation. I think it's so damn cool that we live in a country where history and circumstance has brought these two languages together and they are equally a part of our history and our story.
100%.
Of being Canadians. So I think that is something really cool. I think it's something unique, at least in terms of... the United States, North America, Mexico kind of relationship, although I don't know much about in terms of the different languages in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm not totally sure. Need to do a little bit more research on that one. Okay, so that's so the appreciation and the awareness. But my next question, and you know, we're getting towards the end of the program here, but what about on a personal level? And maybe I'm going beyond those who speak French here, and perhaps we're speaking about folks who speak Spanish, Portuguese, Mandarin, Farsi, what have you. How can we be more inclusive in our own lives of those who speak a different language from our own? You know, like there's because we kind of understand French as Canadians, hopefully. You know, there's probably some stereotypes in there for sure that are untrue, some that maybe are true, and some that are in the middle. But I think there's like a cultural piece as well, an acceptance of folks who speak languages outside of our official languages.
And I think it's mostly just starting by not assuming that people speak English. You know what I mean? Like if the people walk by you on the street. I always make this joke, but in Montreal, like if you see something funny and you want to share it with the person next to you, you don't know what language to say it in. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you have to start a conversation, see what language that person speaks, and then you decide what language to speak in. So I think we assume that everyone speaks English, and sometimes we can't assume. And it kind of starts there.
Yeah, this, I mean, we, and it's no fault of anyone. We kind of exist in this way as human beings, that we assume, we automatically categorize and storytell for the people who are around us. We talked a little bit about that on the last episode, that we have a story for everyone the second that we see them.
Totally.
And I think this advice is paramount in that we have to not storytell, but observe.
Absolutely.
We've got to be in that present moment with that person. Even though we might have this cultural fear of like, oh, what if they don't like me? You know, I have it, to be frank, this is a little bit of a translation itself, but when I meet someone who's religious or devoutly religious, I have, being someone who is gay, I have a story about that person almost immediately pop up in my head. And part of my work in my own life has been giving enough space between that stimuli of, oh, they're not going to like me, or, oh, this goes against what they believe, and my reaction.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Creating a little bit of space in there. So when I, you know, when you come up against someone speaking, I don't know, Mandarin, instead of being like, oh, I don't know, like, haha, sorry, like trying to like just get out of that moment. And believe me, I've been there.
Yeah.
Or even worse, I've heard someone speak English.
Oh, wow.
Ew,
yeah.
Gross. Oh. As if like you're not the king of England.
Yeah, no.
There isn't even a king of England. Honey, there's only a queen.
Oh.
For now.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, for us to create a little bit of space between that stimulus and reaction, it's mindfulness. Again, it comes in there.
It's just being aware and having that respect for that person, you know, wherever they come from, whatever they're doing, why they're here, why you're there. Like, you know what I mean? It's like you said, it's being present in that moment with that person and appreciating everything about that person and where they come from. And
there's so much more flavor. There's so many more flavors of life that we can taste, not physically, but that we can sample, that we can have an appreciation for, that we can make room at the table for, because there is enough room at the table for all of those folks.
I love that.
Well, my friend, thank you for giving me a little bit more understanding of what it means to grow up en français.
Oh, you're welcome.
And a better look at how, you know, we can attempt to create more space for folks like yourself who share in our bilingual languages, French and English, and also folks that maybe fall outside of that, that speak something that we may have never heard before.
So true.
Thank you so, so much, Em.
Well, thank you so much.
And that is it for another episode of Downhill Dog, the guide to trying, the podcast that self-helps you. And if you want to continue this nonsense, why don't you follow us on Instagram, downhilldog_podcast. And we have new content every single day for you to get a giggle, or for perhaps a little bit of insight, or just to see perhaps a sexy human being, which includes myself. So that's all I have for this week. Please stay tuned. We have episodes every 2 weeks. If you want more, you got to pay me. But I haven't figured that out either yet. No, we do it every 2 weeks. I'm super excited. Perhaps one day we'll get down to one episode a week, which would be fabulous. And if you haven't already, go on to Google Play or iTunes or Apple Podcasts and subscribe and rate. And until next time, my friends, bye for now. Or wait, what is it en français? Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir for now. Just au revoir. Au revoir for now.